Assemblymember Charles Barron of Brooklyn has made a habit to interrupt Governor Cuomo during his speeches. Barron did it last Thursday during the governor's budget presentation, challenging his statement on education. Last Tuesday, during the governor's budget presentation, challenging his statement on education funding and the overall funding for anti-poverty and housing programs, WOOC's Mark Dunley reports.
With WOOC, and I'm talking with Assemblymember Charles Barron, who had a little bit of a disagreement today with Governor Cuomo during his budget presentation over whether or not the increase in funding was adequate. So, Assemblymember, what was the point you're trying to make in terms of the funding being provided for education?
They owe us meaning the black and brown children in poor, struggling schools in New York City and across the state, $4.2 billion to satisfy the campaign for fiscal equity debt that the state courts said, because of the racist allocation of funding in education, they owe that to these schools. He has yet to pay that debt. Every year he ignores it or puts some minor, small amount toward it. So when he was presenting his education piece, I didn't see the campaign for fiscal equity money. That is separate from him saying this is a historical record amount of money spent for education. Don't believe the hype. Don't be bamboozled and took by that language, because every year, because of the raise of inflation, education money is going to be record. In 1991, it was about $11 billion. 92, it was 12. 90, you know, went up each year. It was a record because of inflation and the cost. His raise in the education money doesn't even match the cost for education, much less the campaign for fiscal equity money. He is not being truthful and honest. These budgets in his state of the state are usually times where they're PR messages for him and not dealing with the truth and the facts of the budget.
We recently observed the 50th anniversary of Dr. King's both March on Washington, but particularly the Poor People's Campaign, and yet 50 years later, it seems like segregation in education and housing has increased. You know, what are some of the concerns about housing that you're seeing?
Very good question, because I was really upset that here it is Martin Luther King's birthday, and Martin Luther King said, "Silence is betrayal." Martin Luther King in 1968 lost his life organizing a poor people's campaign. Where is there any money in this budget for poverty, to deal with poverty? That's what Dr. King was about in his last year. That's what the poor people's campaign was about. When I first came up here, I raised poverty, campaign for fiscal equity. He put $10 million out of a $150 billion budget into poverty in the Bronx because some politicians he was trying to satisfy. The next year we raised poverty, he puts $25 million in poverty for people upstate. So there was zero money in there for poverty. Housing, we have too much homelessness in New York State, all across the state, and probably the richest state in the United States, barring California probably and Texas, but they got more money here, the $85 billion city budget and the $150, $60-plus billion state budget. You're talking about $230, $40 billion. Nobody should be homeless. But there's no money in to deal with homelessness and a real affordable housing, not this nonsense that Bill de Blasio talks about, who I call a pseudo-progressive, because he's not really talking about real affordability for the people who live in those areas. So there's nothing in there for housing that we can be proud of, and health is going to take a hit, and he refuses to tax the millionaires, saying they've been hit enough from the feds. The ones he's going to tax and try to get something from are the millionaires that own corporations, because they get a 40% break from the feds. But the millionaires who don't own corporations, they don't get a 40% break, so they want to leave them alone and then try to raise revenue some other kinds of way. We need a commuter tax back, we need a stock transfer tax, and we need to tax the capital gains on the millionaires. They don't have a payroll.
Well, you know, the governor talked about a $4 billion deficit. $1 billion of revenue enhancements you talked about. Half of that seemed to be from the conversion of nonprofit insurance companies, which is not always in the best interest of people. You mentioned sort of the tax on wealthy. How do you think the legislature will look at trying to deal with this revenue shortfall?
Yeah, I think we have to look at the way we looked at it when they had a $10 billion deficit years ago. You have to raise money on the rich. Those who have more must pay more. Bottom line. And you have to use the money from last year. There's about $2 billion rolled over from last year. That cuts the deficit in half right away. They're gonna close this deficit easily. But they use the deficit to say, hey, we're in tight times, so you're not going to be able to get this for campaign for fiscal equity. You're not going to be able to get this for affordable housing because we have a deficit. We have a deficit. That is bogus. That is bogus. The bottom line is whatever this budget is now, 155, 160, deficit or surplus, $150 billion plus is going to be spent. So it's about the prioritization of spending. Not deficits and surplus, because even when we have surpluses, we still don't get the campaign for fiscal equity money, and we still don't get money for poverty, and we still don't get money for real affordable housing. So don't talk to me about no deficit, because it's bogus.
Well, speaking of affordable housing, I know the last couple of years, Assemblymember Hevesy's had this proposal to get about 80% of the average housing cost as sort of a housing subsidy. Don't think that made it into the governor's proposal. Is the Hevesy approach adequate?
Absolutely. I support it 1,000%. Why isn't it in the budget? Why isn't it in his legislative package? That would resolve a lot of our problems around affordable housing and dealing with the housing issue. But they won't even deal with that. Why? Why? These are the kinds of contradictions and hypocrisies that this government espouses during Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday celebration.
One of the other issues I'm a little bit surprised about, of course, the New York City subway has been quite a bit of a crisis. New York Times did a series saying we need about $110 billion to sort of fix it. And then I think the governor's proposing an extra $400 million, not billion. And that seemed a little bit small given the extent of the problem.
Exactly, because he's running for office, higher office, and he wants to give the perception of handling problems when the money is not there. And the other thing is that we got to look at the MTA before giving them more money. They have cookbooks, they have double sets of books, they're mismanaging money. So just throwing a lot of money at the MTA is a concern. But this governor, when you talk about $400 million in a state that has a multi-billion dollar capital budget, it's absurd.
Now, one of the things that confuses a lot of us is this idea that the way to deal with the pretty bad federal tax cuts is to transform the New York State income tax into a payroll tax. Do you understand what he's trying to do there? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I understand what he's trying to do, but that's not the answer. What he's trying to do is to reduce your amount of taxable income to the feds since they're not letting you write off the state deduction anymore. So if you make $100, as he showed, and $5 of that was going to the feds, state tax, then they're not allowing you to deduct that $5. So what he's saying, you have your $100, but you'll only be showing $95 to the feds. So even though they didn't let you deduct the $5, through this payroll arrangement, you'll be able to still not have to, you know, you don't lose that $5. You'll still be able to deduct that $5 on a state level. That's like peanuts compared to what needs to really happen. What really needs to happen is that we need to tax the millionaires to get the revenue. We need to make sure if they're cutting Medicare and other health kinds of things on a federal level, we need to increase it on a state level. Healthcare is getting hit horribly. Mm-hmm. And his answer for that is really inadequate to be kind. It's inadequate.
Well, a report came out today that the percentage of Americans, adults, who are lacking health insurance increased by 1.3% over the last year. And that was even before we had all the federal, you know, tax cuts. What are some of the things you would like to see done in healthcare?
I would like to see a universal single-payer healthcare system, a bill that Dick Gottfried, our chair of the health committee, we passed in as a single bill here in the state assembly. The way you pay for it is through the capital gains tax and the progressive payroll tax. I'm not crazy about a progressive payroll tax, but that's how Dick proposes to pay for it. Then it'll be Medicare for all. Free healthcare, like they have in those countries they hate, like Cuba and Venezuela and some poor African nations, Angola. They have free healthcare. And then and public free healthcare in Canada and England. Why not the richest country in the world with a $4+ trillion budget, a $150-60 billion state budget, a $85 billion city budget? You can't provide free health education and free healthcare like some of these developing countries could do, but this is a highly developed, highly technologized country with just a tremendous amount of capital, and you can't provide free health care and free education. That is a sin before God.
So we've been talking with Assemblymember Charles Barron from Brooklyn. One last question. What didn't we ask you about that you would like to tell our listeners about in terms of some of your concerns and priorities?
Well, first of all, the main thing is we need a multi-billion-dollar poverty program to fight poverty. That cannot come at a better time than now, because our people are dying, they're hurting, we're in a state of crises. There's nothing in this governor's budget, nothing in the mayor's budget that speaks to poverty in black and brown communities. That has to be the number one issue, and it cannot come at a better time than Martin Luther King's birthday, when he died. He died in his last years on earth building the Poor People's Campaign.
Thank you, Assemblymember Barron. And this has been Mark Dunley for WOOC.
That was Assemblymember Charles Barron discussing the state budget with WOOC correspondent Mark Dunley.